geeks and nerds, and welcome back to Real Geeks, the show where we get real geeky about geeky movies. I'm here, Trevor Batson, with my co-host, Mike Montgomery.
Hey, Internet.
Today, our guest is Leo Melanson.
Hi, that's me.
And we're here to review Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Yay.
I saw that movie.
So let's go into that review.
I can't believe you just said that.
I can't believe I didn't say first.
Here's the synopsis of the film.
A long, long time ago, Earth had dinosaurs on them. During that time, Power Rangers were on there led by Zordon. Zordon kills himself while trying to defend the Zeo crystals from getting in the hands of Rita Repulsa. He sleeps for billions of years.
We end up in Angel Grove in modern day. We see all of our characters through various moments in time running into mischief and ending up in detention, and by interesting set of circumstances wind up together and discovering the spaceship and meeting Zordon and Alpha 5 and training to become the Power Rangers to stop Rita Repulsa from finding the Zeo Crystal, which is somewhere in Angel Grove, destroying all life on Earth. Let's get into our initial thoughts.
I thought that the movie was better than it had any right to be. I was expecting another thing like the Michael Bay Transformer movie, these G.I. Joe, yeah. All those other like nostalgia grabs that are like being too serious and action-packed, but like after the movie I was surprised about how good the writing actually was.
I think we can all agree this movie is not a good movie in a traditional sense.
Yeah, as a reboot, as a Power Rangers movie, it really was very, very good.
Yeah, I think kind of going in, the bar was set kind of low for it. It's a reboot, trailers didn't really make it look that great. It's based on the original source material, which a lot of people thought was insipid.
As a Power Rangers reboot, I would give it full marks. I decided last night, just out of curiosity, to make myself watch the 95 Power Rangers movie.
And how did that go?
That original movie just hurt my soul to watch.
What, you didn't like a villain based on Purple Gat?
That's the most accurate description of him I have ever heard. Oh my god. Thank you, Leo. As a Power Rangers fan, going into this, very worried.
Yeah.
About whether or not it was going to be good, because we had that original movie you just mentioned. Mm. Even worse than that, we had Turbo.
Yeah.
It's taken us so damn long to get something that a lot of people can appreciate. Because Power Rangers was very much a niche, even when it was popular. Moving into this modern era and trying to update things while still keeping true to the original source material, there was so much of an uphill battle to go with that. It reached the peak. For me anyway, the perfect balance between update and nostalgia. Keeping it cheesy when it needs to be cheesy and making it serious when it needs to be serious.
Yeah.
Jumping into spoiler territory. Go in depth.
The Blue Ranger dying. Then, of course, he comes back to life.
As soon as that moment happened when Zordon was about to go through the grid, I was like, okay, now he's gonna bring Billy back.
Yeah,
to life.
I think I saw that coming a bit earlier than you did, but there was a moment where I was like, oh shit. He's not actually dead, is he? And then they're like, he's actually dead, and then they pick up his corpse.
I had that same moment of he's not actually dead. That moment for me was the exact second they said Billy's dead. Like, as an emotional beat, I could see what they were going for, but it's not earned at all.
Yeah.
And Hollywood, y'all need to stop. With Billy, had that happened, say, even the next movie or the third movie in the franchise, it would have been far more believable.
This movie really needed to just establish so many things for new audiences that had never watched anything Power Rangers, audiences that were vaguely aware of what Power Rangers was, and old school fans who really were looking for a solid update to their beloved franchise. It did that, but it's not without its flaws. Absolutely. The truck that Jason was driving in the beginning of the film. It's a red Ford Ranger.
Of course it is.
Like, really on the nose, guys. Thanks for that.
That's half product placement, half almost trivial nod to the original material.
And foreshadowing as well.
Yeah.
I get that product placement is kind of a thing when you have...
Sorry, I know where this is going.
Oh, we're going right there! I realize that product placement is a big part of making movies. It's one of those necessary evils in the film industry, but at the same time, it's like, there's ways to do product placement that are far more subtle. Like Marvel movies having Dr. Pepper vending machines in the background.
Yeah.
With this movie, it really narrows down to one particular product placement that became an integral part of the plot of the film. To the point where the name of this establishment was said so many goddamn times by all the major players, except for maybe two, tying your entire product placement to a single key plot element of the film. Are you kidding me, guys? The goddamn Zeo Crystal is buried underneath a goddamn Krispy Kreme. Oh my god.
Of this movie's $100 million budget, I'm half convinced about $50 million came from Krispy Kreme.
I agree with your theory that it's probably about half the budget. Because clearly, that's the only explanation for why there was such a focus on Krispy Kreme. Elizabeth Banks' performance in that film, like out of all the characters, you could tell that she was the one person who was like, I'm in a different movie.
Okay, you know what? There's actually a thing about her I wanted to bring up, and I think this is probably a good point to do it. I caught an interview with her on Innerspace. At one point she's asked why she took the role. At first she gives the standard answer, like she saw the script, loved the people working on it, yada yada. And then she flat out said, her name is Rita Repulsa, why wouldn't I do it?
Yeah!
Right away, I'm going, you're taking this role because it looks like fun.
Yeah.
I have so much more respect for you right now.
God, yes. It would be so much fun to play with Repulsa.
And this is an interesting thing too, because when they initially marketed the film, they definitely played up the marketing of the look of Rita Repulsa.
Yeah.
And love it or hate it, that was a big part of their marketing, and now after seeing the movie, we know why.
Yes.
Some of the most fun moments in the film were watching Elizabeth Banks do her thing. Her least over-the-top moments were when she was interacting with the Rangers.
Yeah.
But when she was by herself on screen, that was when it was a whole other thing.
I can't possibly eat all this scenery by myself. She's in a jewelry store, asked for gold on the counter, and then she just takes it and starts like swallowing.
She eats it like spaghetti. Yeah.
And it's just
like a
really
3-year-old eating spaghetti. The original Megazord was so blocky looking, you could tell this piece was from this sword and this piece was from this sword. This new Megazord looked like an amalgam of everything put together in one. It looked like a giant robot, not just a bunch of Lego blocks put together.
Yes, I understand the theme of unity you're going for, and that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
The thing I have is, I like iconography. And with the original Megazord, I can describe to you, like, in and out, what its shape is, what it looks like, small details. I can't remember a single thing about this new Megazord, except that it's kind of blackish for the most part, and kind of human-shaped. It raised the question right afterwards, how are they pulling it apart?
Yeah, the director is actually a major Power Rangers fan. And there were a lot of elements that seemed to be there just to address concerns that fandom has brought up from the original show. Like, why is Rita focusing on Angel Grove over and over and over? You see the five individual Zords in battle, and it's like, okay, now these things actually serve a purpose, where in the original show, they're just there to combine the Megazord, and that's it.
And that's the thing, ultimately, I think that this movie really kind of addressed a lot of the faults that the original series had.
And went and created new ones.
Alpha 5 said, the Zords land, they take on the shape of whatever the most powerful creatures on Earth are. Were Mastodons and Sabertooth Tigers around at the same time as a T-Rex?
You're trying to recapture the iconography of the original series. That was one big thing that it didn't really care about, continuity.
Yeah.
And so, when you're trying to establish this serious continuity in this film, but also try and live up to that iconography, that's where you're going to have a conflict.
My problem is actually with Kimberly. It's set up for most of the movie that she's a victim of cyberbullying to the point that I honestly felt like with the Rangers themselves, it was like, jock with a heart of gold, check.
Yeah.
Teen with mental issues, check. Victim of cyberbullying, check. Here's the thing. Kimberly is not a victim of cyberbullying. She is a victim of karma.
Yeah.
Because she is the cyberbully.
Yeah. She shared like nude pics or like revealing pictures of one of her friends or something like that.
Yes.
And it's like, you don't do that.
No.
Everyone watching this in Nova Scotia just went,
and you know what?
Yeah.
That was just absolutely awful. With Jason, like at the start of the movie, he steals a cow, he steals the opponent's school's mascot.
I started the movie by watching Varsity Blues.
Yeah, and he like trashes a bunch of stuff and he causes his own accident and stuff like that. That you can kind of play off as it's like almost campy in a way.
One of those moments that they kept cheesy that was a welcome cheesy. It was one of those things where you're trying to establish five characters.
Yeah.
You kind of almost want them to do like a quick little stereotypical thing. And just to kind of get their introduction done and out of the way so that we can get to the more interesting, juicy stuff down the road when all the characters are interacting with each other and getting to know each other better, etc., etc.
That was my thought with all the main characters. Like, it was they're very just textbook and just thrown out, but
they took just one giant misstep with Kimberly.
Oh yeah!
I will give them this. They're not the first ones. Kimberly has been a character that has been misstepped multiple times in the original show, in the original movie, and in Turbo, especially in Turbo. She's had her damsel in distress moments. Mm. This movie, they gave a whole new set of flaws to her character.
Oh yeah.
But at least she's not a damsel in distress.
I've always used the term, though, better doesn't always necessarily mean good. And this is one of those cases where it's like, it's a better Kimberly, but it's not really a good Kimberly. With all the characters, they definitely have those flaws, like the Hollywood flaws that make them relatable characters.
Yeah.
Kimberly is just the one exception to it's like, that's not really a flaw, you're just a bad person for that.
Exactly. It's what I call the Friends syndrome, and nothing against anybody who's a fan of the TV show Friends, but in the 90s, there was two sitcoms. There was Seinfeld, and there was Friends, and in both cases, the people in those shows were horrible people. The difference being, Seinfeld's characters got into hilarious situations and you were able to laugh at it because you knew they were assholes. Whereas the people in Friends, they were presented in a way where you were expected to like them anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened with Kimberly in this film. You were presented with a character, expecting her to like her no matter what, and she's just a horrible person.
A lot of the characters themselves were very by the book in terms of development. So with a lot of them, I didn't care about them a whole lot. However, I think with Billy, that actually works to his benefit.
Mm-hmm.
As someone who has worked with kids who are autistic, who has known kids who are what used to be called Asperger's syndrome, but is now autism spectrum disorder. What I saw on the screen was just by the book spectrum, and it was perfect.
Yeah.
And bravo to the gentleman who portrayed Billy.
RJ Seiler, I love you. In terms of comedy, they may have gone to the well one too many times with him, but again, he did such a good job that I don't care.
The mid-credit scene, they're asking for Tommy Oliver to raise his hand or whatever, and like that's the name of the Green Ranger in the original show.
They were kind of already hinting at the sequel by having Rita Repulsa freezing in space, but her body was floating towards the moon, hinting that potentially in the sequel we would see Lord Zedd. But then, of course, the plot element that Tommy Oliver gets turned into the Green Ranger and is used by Rita Repulsa to infiltrate the Power Rangers and destroy them from the inside. He ends up turning good, becomes the White Ranger, etc., etc.
They already had set up the idea that there could be a Green Ranger because that's what Rita Repulsa was.
Exactly. In this version, Rita Repulsa is the original Green Ranger, but she turned bad and she was seeking the Zeo Crystal. In conclusion, what are your final ratings on the film?
I say, go see it. 4 out of 5 Rangers. I give it a Trini, Zach, Billy, and Jason, but not a Kimberly.
Oh, well said.
As a reboot, as a Power Rangers movie, I'm willing to go all the way up to a 5. Strictly speaking, as a movie, it's not good, but it's a lot of fun. It's a 2. That's not a bad thing. As much as that is a low rating, that's not a bad rating.
The film was not a good film, as Mike says. As a Power Rangers movie,
yeah,
it was damn near perfect. It's not without its flaws. There was far too many callbacks to things. There was far too many missteps that were created versus the ones that were fixed. That being said, I felt it was a perfect blend of nostalgia with update, a perfect blend of cheesy with serious, and I think that overall, it's definitely middle of the road, 3 out of 5.
The pieces were there, they just haven't quite come together yet.
Yeah, I think that might be, like, that's kind of why my rating is higher than you guys, because I'm definitely seeing what it could become.
Yeah,
and
you see the potential, I feel like that potential is something that they could tap into with a potential sequel.
Yeah.
Whether we get that sequel yet or not remains to be seen. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we do.
I would figure.
If we don't, this will tide us over for another decade or so. Thanks again, Leo.
You're welcome.
Thanks again, Mike.
Pleasure.
And thank you for watching Geeks and Nerds. This has been Real Geeks. That's a wrap.
If you liked that video, click the thumbs up button. Click the logo on the left to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And click on the box to the right to check out one of our other reviews. Also, feel free to leave a comment below. You can check us out on Twitter and Instagram by following the links in the description. Thanks for watching.